leave it to the Lutheran Church to want all the discarded crap from evangelicalism and evangelical worship, jumping on that boat at the moment evangelicals are leaving it.
Craig Parton, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it's my generation, the baby boomer generation, that frankly needs to die to leave all these entertainment orientation, market orientation, me orientation. What can the church do for me today? That kind of perspective in the Lutheran churches, which is really needs to be extirpated in some way.
You can listen to Craig Parton's presentation, Making the Case Against Lutherans Imitating Evangelicals, on an audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Cathedral Choir with stanza 7 of the hymn The God of Abram Prays. It's in Isaiah chapter 51 that the prophet, or the Lord through the prophet, says, "Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for he is but one when I called him that I might bless him and multiply him." Now, in order to understand these words, we not only have to go back to Abraham. The prophet calls the people back to Abraham and to the promise that God made to him. We also have to understand a little bit about what's going on in the book of Isaiah, especially with regard to the Lord's faithful servant. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, the 21st of August, we're doing our series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today, Isaiah chapter 51. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Now, you can join us for the next 45 minutes. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and for our podcast listeners, the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he is host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Refresh our memory, because this will help us understand Isaiah 51 a little bit. The person of the servant that appears, faithful servant, suffering servant, it's all one servant, in the book of Isaiah. Who is he, and what relationship does he bear to the verses we're going to be looking at here?
Well, what we see in the prophet Isaiah, of course, is that the prophet is sent to the people of Israel. Israel is to be the servant of Yahweh, and to be the servant of Yahweh, you are to listen to him. The problem is Israel has become unfaithful. They've broken covenant, and Yahweh breaks their government, of course. But they refuse to listen, and they resist the work of the Holy Spirit. So Israel becomes this unfaithful servant. So throughout the prophet Isaiah, you have this contrast between unfaithful Israel and the true servant of Yahweh who is faithful. And this, of course, is Christ our Lord, who is Israel reduced to one. And so in about chapter 50, you have this understanding that the servant of Yahweh is one that God has opened his ear, and he will not be rebellious, but instead he will turn his back, and he will be struck, his cheek will be hit, his beard will be pulled, and he doesn't hide his face from disgrace and spitting. And so this, of course, is referring to this understanding of the suffering servant, the one who will suffer on behalf of the unfaithful servant, which is Israel, and, of course, all unfaithful people throughout all worlds since the fall. So back in Isaiah 50, you have this behold this servant who is faithful. And this is the one that then we are talking about, who is now faithful in Isaiah 50, 51, 52, 53, so that we see him as the suffering servant. You begin at the end of Isaiah 52, you know, behold my servant, he will act wisely. And then in 53, when he suffers, Yahweh says, by the knowledge of him, my righteous servant, many will be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. So throughout the book of Isaiah, you've always got this contrast between the people of Israel who are supposed to serve Yahweh, but they do not, and the one who truly serves Yahweh, obedient to the point of death on the cross.
Now, you said something there, but I want you to expand on it. What is the relationship? Because we're going to deal with this issue of righteousness right there at the beginning. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. What's the relationship of this servant to God delivering righteousness to his people?
So that this servant is the righteous servant. He is the righteous one. He's the author of life. He's the one that the people of Jerusalem reject, and they put him to death. But he alone is the righteous one. And so you have this chapter 51 opens up by saying, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek Yahweh. And so this is this whole understanding that he sends the prophet to speak his word. And it's through his word that you hear about the promise of the Messiah. And there are two groups of people throughout time. There are those who hear this word and rejoice and trust in Yahweh's action to bring about righteousness, for he is the righteous one. And then you have those other people who refuse to listen and instead trust in their own actions. So you see throughout this these two different groups of people. And so the ones who pursue righteousness and seek Yahweh are the remnant, the small group who actually trust in this salvation of Yahweh to come. I mean, we had this back in Genesis when it closes and Yahweh teaches his 12 tribes to trust in him and to wait for his salvation. So that we have that in Genesis 49 where we confess and we say, I wait for your salvation. So you're seeking Yahweh and his righteousness. And so chapter 51 opens up with those who will listen. So in 51 it says, listen to me. Later on in verse 4 it says, give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a Torah will go out from me. Later on in verse 7 in the same chapter, again, listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my Torah. Now, I purposely say Torah. Usually this is translated as law in our English versions, but understand in the Hebrew it's Torah, which is instruction. And it's Moses in the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah, the instruction of God. And it's in Deuteronomy when, of course, Moses instructs us that Yahweh our God will raise up for us a prophet like Moses from among the brothers of Israel, and we are to listen to him. And so this whole understanding of listening to Yahweh, and then Moses says, now listen to the raised up servant, the prophet like Moses, which of course is the Messiah, the promised one, the son of David, Christ our Lord. And so the people have been waiting and they've been instructed by Moses to listen to Yahweh and to wait for his salvation, and when he comes, listen to him. Yet the people of God become bored with his word, and they look for something else instead, and they refuse to listen, and they trust in their own actions. So you see this kind of this contrast to the other group of people, like in Isaiah 56, where he comes to these stubborn ones, and he says, listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off. My salvation will not delay. I will put my salvation in Israel, for Israel my glory. And here Yahweh speaking to the stubborn, those who refuse to listen, who do not seek after him and his righteousness. Or again in chapter 48 in Isaiah, right before this, again, hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel and who came from the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of Yahweh and confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. And so this is the second group of people who do not seek Yahweh, who do not listen, and who do not pursue righteousness. So this is this whole understanding that Yahweh himself is our righteousness, and Yahweh himself will bring righteousness, because this is his desire. You get this back in Isaiah 45, where the Isaiah writes, and he says, "Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit, for this is Yahweh's desire, that this righteousness of his would shower down upon the land." Or again, in the same chapter, verse 25, "In Yahweh all the offspring of Israel shall be justified," that is, declared righteous. And so this chapter 51 is about listening. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has come, gone out. My salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will be forever. And again, continually, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, for my righteousness will be forever." Because the servant, he is Yahweh's righteousness and salvation. And again, by the knowledge of him, the righteous servant, many will be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities.
So we have a very clear portrait here of this servant as the coming Jesus Christ, the one who is who does bring not only bring the righteousness of God, that is, he is himself righteous, righteously suffers, but also both bestows and declares righteousness for sinners.
Yeah, so exactly with this contrast, the servant of Israel that is unfaithful, the servant who does not listen to God, they're the ones that deserve God's judgment and his cup of wrath. And it is poured out on them as they see the Assyrians coming and later on the Babylonians. But they deserve the wrath. But yet the faithful servant, who is Christ our Lord, does not deserve the wrath. But yet that cup of wrath comes upon him for their sake and for our sake. All for the sake that the unrighteous are going to be declared righteous because the righteous one suffers in their behalf. And so in his death, he atones for sin, and our iniquities are taken away and not counted against us. They're counted against him. And then in his resurrection, this righteousness is bestowed and declared to be our own, for he is vindicated in the resurrection, and then Yahweh vindicates us in him.
So what then does he mean in verse 2, when the prophet says, "Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you"?
And so, again, when we're talking about listening, because, again, faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. And so you look back to the past and say, "Look, I gave Abraham the promise." And the promise, of course, was that he would have this offspring, this one who would be the salvation of Yahweh, the one who would save his people from their sins, and he would also be a blessing to all the nations. And of course, when Abraham believed this promise, Yahweh counted it to him as righteousness, as we hear in Genesis 15. And so you have the people who are to listen to Yahweh are to look to the past and realize Yahweh gave a promise to Abraham, and this promise is going to be fulfilled in this seed born of the virgin. And so, I mean, there's even this interesting contrast here between the idea of a woman who has a child and a woman who is barren, but yet the woman who is barren rejoices and has the promise. For Sarah is brought into this whole conversation. It's not just Abraham who believed, but "Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you." So Sarah is barren. She has no child, but yet they believe in this promise that the offspring will come from her womb. And she bears a child, Isaac. And then as you go through in Genesis, you realize Isaac has a wife, of course, and Rebecca is barren, and she doesn't have a child, but the promise continues to go through, and they believe in this promise. And again, you have the son that is born, which of course is Jacob, which is later on renamed as Israel. He has a wife, Rachel, who is also barren. So you have these women who do not have the fruit of the womb, but yet Yahweh promises. And even in the midst of their affliction and their kind of waiting and just wondering and looking and saying, when is this going to happen? Yahweh says, look to the past. It did happen for Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And then he gives that promise, of course, through the mouth of Isaiah in chapter 7. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. So that God's promise will be fulfilled at the right time, which is his time.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, August the 21st. We're doing our regular weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. We're in the first few verses of Isaiah chapter 51, talking about the righteousness that is God's, that he gives to us, that he even declared to Abraham. When we come back, we'll talk more about that with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
One of the most surprising discoveries I have found in church history that Christians usually did not realize or recognize the effects their actions had when they heeded Christ's words, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Dr. Alvin Schmidt speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Their actions were byproducts of God's redeeming love that was theirs in the crucified and risen life of Jesus Christ. In time, many Christian values and practices became integrated parts of Western culture. And the Christians didn't really quite realize it, as we don't to this day.
You can listen to Dr. Schmidt's presentation, Making the Case for Christianity's Positive Impact on Civilization, on our new audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You can find out more about that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for the link to Redeemer Theological Academy. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, we were talking about Abraham, Sarah, the call of Abraham. Is this a direct connection? And it seemed that you were definitely going that direction. Is this a direct connection to what we know about Abraham's righteousness from the book of both Genesis and, of course, later we're going to hear about it from St. Paul in the book of Romans?
Yeah, exactly. I think that the appropriate way to approach the Old Testament scriptures is to understand that the Torah, those five books of Moses, are given. They are the instruction to the people of God. And they give to people the covenant between Yahweh and Israel. But when they break covenant, what happens is they refuse to listen, and then Yahweh will send the prophets. So he'll send the prophets who will take a word from Moses, and then expand and expound upon it. So they're taking that word, it's kind of like commentary on what Moses had written. So that's why when Moses writes that this promise is given to Abraham, then Isaiah will come and he will go back to that text and he will take the people back there to reiterate that a promise given by Yahweh will be fulfilled. And this will be fulfilled in Yahweh's time. And so that's how the prophets, they come to comment on Moses. Now, when the apostles come on the scene, they do basically the same thing, except they're commenting on both Moses and the prophets, and saying that both Moses and prophets all speak about Christ. And so when Paul preaches throughout his text, and especially you see this in Romans, it's like he's got the book of Isaiah in front of him, and he's just preaching from Isaiah. And so he's going through these texts of Isaiah specifically. You're looking at these chapters 51, 52, and 53 that Paul is just hovering around, and Paul goes to this text about Abraham. And he goes back to Abraham for a very important reason, to understand that this message of salvation is not just for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. And so that's something important that we look at when we were trying to search out Christ in the Old Testament, is to look for the conversion of the Gentiles. And this is what Paul does when he takes the text. So Paul, like, as if he's writing this sermon off of Isaiah 51 and about Abraham and Sarah, he talks in Romans chapter 4 and says that Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. And so it's as if Paul's taking this passage from Isaiah, and where Isaiah says, look back to Abraham and Sarah, and now this is exactly what Paul is doing. So he's looking back to Abraham and Sarah and noting the importance of that promise given to them, that is the promise of the seed, the one in which we will have righteousness. So he says that when we look back to Abraham and Sarah, just like Isaiah told us, there was no unbelief that made him waver concerning this promise. But instead, he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And then Paul says, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And so in the days of Paul, it's just like the days of Isaiah, that the people are waiting for the salvation of Yahweh, just like he promised to the patriarchs of old, but now it looks like everything is going astray. It looks like the whole world is falling apart, the kingdom of David is tumbling over, but yet they're given the same promise as Abraham, that this promise will be fulfilled, that Yahweh will bring his righteousness, his salvation in his own time. And so both days, Isaiah's days and Paul's days, it's about the time of affliction and about how it doesn't look like these things are actually coming to transpire. And so when Paul talks to the baptized in Rome, it's these Gentile converts, and they start looking around saying, well, where's the second coming then? where's this promise he's going to return to judge the living and the dead? And then instead they start wondering, well, what about all these Jews who don't believe this promise? And so Paul is reassuring them, just like in the days of Isaiah, that there's only that remnant, those who actually seek Yahweh, those who actually seek righteousness, who confess Christ as the coming salvation. And so both Isaiah and Paul are doing the same thing. They're taking that word of promise and they're delivering it in the context of the hearers.
So Isaiah's kind of preaching the book of Romans, so to speak, at way back in the Old Testament.
Yes, exactly.
So I want to pause there. This really is important to note, because this means that Paul isn't kind of reinterpreting the Old Testament, or even coming up with kind of a novel way of a right but novel way of understanding it. He's simply picking up on something that God said through Isaiah very, very clearly.
Yeah, and this is what Paul does throughout his epistles when he's addressing these questions, because you have the people of Israel who refuse to listen. And again, as we started this conversation, there were two different groups of people. There were those who were seeking Yahweh, listening to his word and seeking righteousness, and there are those who refuse to listen and trust in their own actions. And so those are the same two people that Paul is dealing with. So Paul does just like Isaiah. And he says, go back to the scripture of Moses. Go back to Abraham. And so this whole understanding of just focusing on who Abraham is and what happened to him historically, that he was given a promise that he believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. And this promise, of course, is that in him the nations will be blessed. And so Paul will again point out that this is about the conversion of the Gentiles, that the Gentiles will also be justified through faith alone in Christ alone, just like the Jews. And so Paul does this in his letter to the baptized in Galatia, when he says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall the nations be blessed. And again, so here's Paul saying that Abraham received this preached gospel. It's the same message of Christ, the person and work of who Christ is. And it's back in Genesis 22, for instance, where you see this promise that Yahweh preaches the gospel to Abraham and says, in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, one side note that we have to be clear on is the text says obeyed in our English translations, but actually the Hebrew word is Shema. It'd be a much better translation to render this as hear my voice. Because again, faith comes through hearing the word of Christ. And so Abraham heard the word and he believed. And this is what chapter 51 is all about again. Those listeners who hear the word, seek righteousness, and believe. So Abraham heard the word and he believed. And Paul will comment then on this passage in Moses, again, the Torah of Moses, just like the prophets, and he'll say that the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring, and he notes that it doesn't say offspring in the plural, referring to many, but instead referring to one. It's offspring in the singular, and Paul says this is Christ. So this is the gospel that was preached to Abraham. And Abraham, when he heard the word, he believed. And so this is what the people of Israel are supposed to do, is to be like Abraham, to hear and believe. So again, that's why Isaiah 51 opens up with, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, and seek Yahweh.
Then Isaiah takes us back to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden, to creation, to Adam and Eve. Tell us about that.
So again, when Isaiah is taking us first back to Abraham, saying this promise is given to Abraham, Sarah is barren, she has no child, but yet the promise is the child will come from her womb. And then he goes back even further and says, now let's go back to Eden. We go to the place where the promise was initially given to Adam and Eve, that they were promised that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. So this is the promised seed they were waiting for. And so when Isaiah uses this language, going from Abraham back to Eden, he does the same kind of transition as Paul will do, saying that this is before Mount Sinai. This is before Moses, so that this actually includes people who are not of the Old Testament, just like the people of Abraham were not there at Mount Sinai. And then he goes back further, just like Paul will do, and go back to Adam and Eve, that this promise is for the Gentiles also. It's for all nations, that all nations will be justified in him. And so this whole promise at the beginning has to do with creation, the fall of creation, and the Creator coming into creation in order to restore it. And so whenever you have in Isaiah the language of water, This is one of these fascinating things because it always takes us back to the Garden of Eden, the place where there was no rain. Because remember, there wasn't a flood yet with Noah. The rain didn't come out of the skies. Instead, you had springs and the water bubbled up, and you had plenty of water, and it was green in Eden, and it was paradise. And so Isaiah will use this throughout, that when there's water, there is life. When there's no water, there is death. And so when Yahweh takes away the water, it brings death and punishment and destruction. And so in this chapter 51, he says that he will make her wildernesses, her waste places like Eden, her desert like the Garden of Yahweh, and there will be joy and gladness because there will be life. Now, back in the previous chapter 50, he was talking about judgment and how the water will be removed. And so in chapter 50 of Isaiah, it says, "Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst." And so throughout Isaiah, you see this kind of imagery of water, that the water always takes us back to the beginning, because in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and all creation came into existence through water and the Word. And so you have in Eden, you have this perfect place where man is in union with God. But when they break this fellowship, there is death, and you have no water. Again, with no water, there's no life. And so this is this going back to this restoration of creation, going back to the beginning, the Creator who uses water to bring life, the same Creator who will use water in baptism to bring new life.
When we come back, the next verse, the next verse is where Yahweh says, "The Torah will go out from me. I will judge. I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out. My arm will judge the peoples and the coastlands hope for me. My arm, they await." We'll find out what those verses mean and where Christ is found. Probably not too hard to figure out, but where Christ is found there with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer right after this. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Another 10 minutes with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, our Christ in the Old Testament series. We're in Isaiah chapter 51 on this Thursday afternoon. In the next verses, it seems as though the prophet is just kind of piling up these things. The Torah will go out from me. I will set my justice for a light among the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out. My arm will judge the nations. And again, he says, for my own arm, the coastlands wait. What is that concept? For the sake of time, let's focus on that concept of the arm of Yahweh.
The arm of Yahweh is the action of Yahweh. Even more precise, it's the divine hypostasis. It is this understanding that you have a distinction in persons, a distinction between Yahweh and Yahweh's arm. Yahweh's arm acts. But of course, Yahweh's arm is of the same divine essence. This is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And so the arm of Yahweh is the pre-incarnate Christ. I mean, you'll see this right in chapter 53, where Isaiah will say, who has heard our message, and to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? As he's talking about this servant who is the action, the arm of Yahweh who is bringing this righteousness, who is this salvation. And so that's the arm of Yahweh, the same one who acted to deliver the people out of Egypt. And so you'll get this this whole understanding that in Egypt, Yahweh delivers them with an outstretched arm, so that he is the one who acts, he's the one who saves, he's the one who redeems and ransoms them. And this action is taken place by the arm of Yahweh, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who always comes to act, to bring salvation.
So this is a reference, all these references, the Torah goes out from me, my salvation, my righteousness draws near. He's just talking about Christ is approaching.
Yes, right. And that Christ is the deliverer. Christ is the one who will be a light for the peoples. He's the one who will bring justice. He will make everything right. As Isaiah promised back in chapter 9, that when his kingdom comes, he will establish it with justice and with righteousness. And again, Paul will quote from that passage in Isaiah 53 about who is the arm of Yahweh been revealed to, and still they don't listen. He quotes that in Romans chapter 10 when he talks about faith comes through hearing this preaching of Paul about this same Christ, the arm of Yahweh who comes to deliver. He comes to save.
Now, there is a strange juxtaposition. Well, maybe isn't so strange. A juxtaposition between the end of the earth and he says, you know, the end of the earth is going to wear out like a garment. Those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. How do those two things go together?
Well, again, we've talked about this before, the significance of the Creator being the Redeemer. The one who creates is the only one who can recreate and restore. And so you have here in this passage talking about the heavens and the earth. They're vanishing like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment. That it's temporary, it's not eternal. But the contrast is to Yahweh's salvation, who is, of course, Christ, our Lord. So Yahweh's salvation will be forever. His righteousness will never be dismayed. So unlike this creation that will fall apart and decay, his salvation will extend to all eternity. And this image here of this garment being wore out to be used for earth, is so profound that again, it comes up in the New Testament in this passage in Hebrews chapter 1 that I think is one of the most significant passages we have, where Yahweh speaks to the arm of Yahweh. In other words, the Father speaks to the Son, and the Father says to the Son, you laid the foundations of the earth, they are the work of your hands and the heavens, and they will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. So this is the Father speaking to the Son, that he is co-eternal, that he will remain forever. He is Yahweh's salvation.
So how does that connect to those who first heard this and those to us? If the righteousness, when the righteous one, Christ himself, remains in spite of the end of all things, where does that leave us, Pastor Ketchelmeyer?
Well, this is the key throughout Scripture, that the righteous shall live by faith. And so we live in a fallen world that is like this garment that is fading away. And as we live in this, we're always tempted to fall into dismay and to doubt and to lose all hope, because it doesn't seem like the kingdom is on the horizon at all. And so this is the same message that is given to the people of Yahweh in the days of Isaiah, when they're waiting for the kingdom to come. And he's the one who says, I am he who comforts you, the one who takes you, the one who holds you, the one who created all things is the one who holds you in his hand. And so this is the understanding for the people of Isaiah's day and the people in our day, that we still have this same promise, just like Adam and Eve had, just like Abraham had, just like Moses and David and Isaiah and Paul, and they all waited for the arm of the Lord to be revealed. And so now in our day, we wait for Christ to return again, to judge the living and the dead. And so we are not to dismay, but he continues to give us comfort in the midst of this affliction. In fact, this word of the cross comes to us in the midst of our suffering and persecution of the church on earth, because this fallen creation is always trying to destroy the kingdom that God is trying to bring.
With only a minute here, there is this final call to wake up, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. What connection to Christ would you make there with about a minute, Pastor Ketchelmeyer?
Well, again, the people, they know that Yahweh's arm is strong to save. And so here you have the people saying, wake up, put on strength, oh, arm of Yahweh, do something. And so they have this cup of wrath that's given to them. And this cup of wrath is this destruction and this punishment. And so in the prophet of Isaiah, this cup is first given to them, and then it will be temporary, and it will be handed over to the Babylonians. And so when it's handed over to the Babylonians, it becomes good news for the people. Now, in the New Testament, of course, Christ our Lord, who on the night in which he's betrayed, he prays to the Father that the Father would remove this cup of wrath from him, but that his will would be done. And it's the Father's will that the Son would drink from this cup of wrath. And so the cup of wrath is poured out upon Christ on the cross, again, so that he can take our sins away, and he can bestow his righteousness upon us. So instead of the cup of wrath, he gives to us the cup of the New Testament in his blood to sanctify us from all of our sin.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He is host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week on Christ in the Old Testament, we'll be talking with him about Jeremiah's complaint in Jeremiah chapter 15. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Folks, if you have a child or a grandchild who's a senior in high school thinking about college, thinking about the university, encourage him or her to check out Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Now, at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, you'll find a stimulating academic program for your child, friendly atmosphere that's always helpful, an opportunity to grow both in intellect, that's what the education is about, and in your faith, that's what they mean by Bethany Lutheran College, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. Bethany Lutheran College, Mankato, Minnesota. Find them on the web, blc.edu. Just think Bethany Lutheran College, blc.edu. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to have Dr. Matt Richard answer the question, do Lutherans overemphasize the cross of Christ? Sad to say, many Lutherans think they do. What's the danger of that? We'll talk about that tomorrow on Issues Etc. Do you see how Christ comes through so clearly, verse after verse, in these passages? It's almost like you don't have to go looking for him. Once you realize he's there, once you trust Christ's words, that these are the words that testify of him, you find him in every verse. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.